So I want to thank you for taking some time to sit down with me and take a look into Mark's gospel, the gift of God, trying to figure out this life of the Lord Jesus Christ and the ones who served him, especially today with John the Baptist being our center point of thought. I wrote this message for September 17th of 2023. I titled it John the Baptist's Death, and it's the second one, so it's take two. We started last week, and we'll finish it this week. And it's in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 19 to 29, if you want to open up your Bibles and follow along with me. So my outline, John the Baptist's death, point one, Herodias wanted to kill John. Two, Herod feared John and protected him. And three, John's disciples took his body to a tomb. So my introduction goes like this. They tell me that it's common for a husband and wife to have conflicting opinions on something. They tell me that. It's been a long time I've been widowed for, so I've kind of lost track. But is that still true? That's what we see here in the scriptures today. Herodias and Herod have conflicting opinions of John the Baptist. Herodias is pro-killing John and is looking for a means to get that done. Where Herod, on the other hand, was in awe of John and respected him. So Herod had ordered the arrest of John. Herod put John in chains and sent him into prison. And that was basically because of the nagging of Herodias, his brother's Philip's wife. So John had provoked Herod by naming his relationship with Herodias adultery. So the story goes like this, that Herod is in charge of one part of the country and his brother Philip, or his half-brother, another, and he went to visit Philip for a period of time, and during that time had an affair with Philip's wife, and she liked Herod better, and so she packed up and left Philip and moved in with Herod. So Herod was in awe of John, but Herod was convicted by John that he was a holy man, and he gave him special treatment. So Herod was convinced that John was some type of a holy man, and he tried the best to give him special treatment. Whenever Herod listened to John, he was miserable with guilt, but he couldn't seem to stay away. Something in John kept pulling him back. So the story goes that on a regular basis, Herod would have John brought to him, or even in some cases, he would go into the smelly prison where John was and sit outside that cell and talk and listen with him. So our text is Mark 6, 19 to 29. This week I chose the NIV Reader's Version of the Bible, and it goes like this. So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous, holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked listening to him. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask me anything you want, I'll give it to you." And he promised her with an oath, "Whatever you ask, I'll give you, up to half of my kingdom." She went out, said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" "The head of John the Baptist," her mother answered. At once, the girl hurried into the king with the request. "I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guest, he didn't want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and he brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl. She gave it to her mother. On hearing of this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. That's the end of Mark's gospel for today. Excuse me. So our outline, John the Baptist's death. First thing we want to look at, point one, Herodias wanted to kill John. Herodias does get an idea, and she succeeds at getting John's head on a platter. John had been saying to Herod, it's against the law for you to have your brother's wife. Hey, on your outline, Herodias was smoldering with hate and wanted to kill John, but didn't dare. So Herodias was smoldering with hate, wanted to kill John, but didn't dare. So the three blanks I gave you is wanted to kill. She wanted to kill the guy. Herod, on the other hand, was in awe of John and respected John. When John confronted these two about committing adultery, Herodias formed this plot to kill him. Here's the catch. Instead of trying to get rid of her sin, Herodias tried to get rid of the one who brought it to public attention. So we should stop right here and take a serious look at that. Instead of dealing with the sin in her life, instead of doing what John the Baptist was preaching, a message of repentance, instead of turning her life around and heading in the right direction, she looked to kill the messenger, figuring if she kills John, that problem will go away, but it really doesn't. And this is also exactly what the religious leaders were trying to do with Jesus at that time. So Jesus was saying that the scribes and the Pharisees were hypocrites. They said one thing, but lived another. And rather than these religious leaders listening to John's repentance message and turning from their sin and turning back to God in the way that they should as religious leaders, they decided the best thing for them to do was to kill Jesus, and then that would solve the problem. And in our lives, there's probably things that we do to try to escape the results of sin. We probably have areas of our life that we just assume not people know about. So we do things to cover that or to squelch that or to keep it from public eye. But that's not the right thing to do. The right thing to do is when you realize there is sin, rather than hide it, you should bring it out into the light and deal with it. But Herodias and the religious leaders of that day did not practice that pattern. So be on your outline. Finally, Herodias had an opportune time. Finally is your blank. Herod gave a birthday banquet for himself with officials and military commanders and leading men of Galilee. These were the men who had high civil offices under Herod's rule. These were the key leaders, and we could call them the men of Herod's court, the king's court. So let's look back. Let's say we're in the day of Robin Hood. And the king would have around him a group of people that they would call the court. And it would be dukes and duchesses and the, you know, in crowd. So that's what these people were. They were the king's court. These military commanders were high-ranking officers, and probably each of them commanded 1,000 men. It seemed to me to be quite ironic that the wicked Herod's birthday became the death day of the righteous John. So sometimes when I'm writing things, I like them better than others, and this is one of them. It seems to me to be ironic that a wicked king's birthday became the death day of a righteous man. That just doesn't seem to be right in my way of thinking, but that's the way the Lord did it. Now, let's take a look at the word girl. Used here, the same word Jesus used for the 12-year-old girl of Jairus's daughter. So from that, we can probably make an educated guess that this girl was like 12, 13 years old, young teenager. Mark does not name this young dancer, but the Jewish historian Josephus did, and her name is Salome. So Salome is this teenage girl. Salome was the daughter of Philip. Her father was Herod's half-brother, Philip. The way Mark writes this, it would have been a solo dance and highly suggestive with hand and body movements and would be comparable today to a striptease dance. So the girl does this very seductive dance. with body movements and hand gestures. And it would have been like a burlesque show where girls danced suggestively. This activity was very unusual and almost unprecedented that Salome would have performed in this way before Herod and his guests. It just didn't happen in the Jewish culture that young girls would dance like this in front of men and entice their sensuality. But that's what happened. And I got that thought from John MacArthur. Herodias' daughter danced and pleased Herod's guests. So see on your outline, Herodias' daughter danced and pleased Herod's guests. So danced and pleased are your three blanks. The king said to the girl, ask me for anything you want and I'll give it to you. Herod promised her with an oath, whatever you ask, I'll give you up to half of my kingdom. Now, does that seem overly generous to you? This girl's suggestive dance leads Herod to say, I'll give you half of my kingdom. That just seems like a lot of money to watch a striptease dance. And Herod gave an oath, and as a monarch, he felt bound because of his oath, and they were considered sacred and unbreakable. That's how kings and monarchs did business, is they made oaths. And that's what he did for the girl, so he was kind of bound. She sent out to her mother and said, what should I ask for? Well, the head of John the Baptist, Herodias answered. The truth is, Herod had no kingdom or nothing to give the girl. Herodias was a tyrach, a puppet of Rome. Now, I probably did not pronounce that word correctly. It's spelled T-E-T-R-A-R-C-H. I pronounce it tyrach, but that's probably not really the way it is, but that would be the title in the Roman government of Herod. At once the girl hurried and asked the king and said, I want you to give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter right now. So D on your outline, I want you to give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter right now. So I gave you five blanks, the head on a platter. Now I want you to take note that in Mark's writing here, things move along rapidly from here. So we've discovered that, you know, Mark is one of those people who writes in chronological order. And the way he writes here, things are moving rather quickly. He writes at once, and he writes the girl hurried to ask the king. And she said, give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter right now. And he sent the man right away to bring John's head. So it moved along really quickly. Our outline, John the Baptist's death, Herodias wanted to kill him. Point two, Herod feared John and protected him. So A on your outline, Herod was in awe of John. And in awe are your two blanks. Something in John kept pulling him back, the Message translation said. Something in John kept pulling Herod back. What do you think that was? What do you think the reason was that Herod was terrified and yet hungry to talk with John? Why would he do that? My best guess is that some sinners are looking for hope, peace, and freedom from their life patterns. And I think Herod could have been one of these people. That he was on the verge of repentance at that time. But peer pressures and his marital pressures will cause him to, you know, forsake that. It's bad news, but I think Herod had some inclination of maybe repenting. B on your outline. Convinced that John was a holy man, Herod gave him special treatment. So I gave you three blanks, convinced, holy man. Herod knew the truth about John's life. It was obvious to him that John was a very special, holy person. And this could be something that each of us should examine. One can know the truth and yet let excitement and peer pressure destroy their life. You see, Herod knew the truth about John. And many people in our culture will know the truth and the right and the righteousness of God. But in times of excitement or under peer pressure, they will act or react in ways that they normally wouldn't. So we need to be cautious and examine our lives. And when you're involved in some sort of a peer activity and you get the first glimpse that it might be going the wrong direction, you should hit the eject button and get out of there fast. In my life experience, that's the only way to beat it, is just get off the train. See on your outline, whenever Herod listened to John, he was miserable with guilt. So listen is your blank. And yet, Herod couldn't stay away. It made him miserable with guilt, but yet he couldn't stop. After Herod gave the girl the head, he was deeply distressed, one translation said. The only other time Mark uses these words is concerning Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. So in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is there alone by himself praying, knowing that in a few minutes they're going to come take him and beat him and kill him in the morning. And he was greatly distressed. That's the same term that Mark uses for Herod here. And I think that really puts us in sort of a light of understanding of how deeply Herod felt. Herod was greatly perplexed, it says in the King James Version. And for those of you out there, I do actually look at the King James Version every week. This seems to indicate that Herod's interaction with John had left him with a great internal conflict. So he had this conflict inside. See, Herod was in this moral struggle between his lust for Herodias and the pondering his guilty conscience. So he was in this great dilemma. He's hot for Herodias, but yet he has a guilty conscience for what he's doing. So our outline goes John the Baptist's death. Point one, Herodias wanted to kill John. Point two, Herod feared John and protected him. And point three, John's disciples took his body to a tomb. A, John's disciples heard about this, and your blank is heard. It seems to me that bad news travels faster than good news sometimes. But they got the news quickly that John had been beheaded. B on your outline, so they came and took his body. Came and took are your three blanks. John's disciples, like their rabbi, were courageous in facing possible personal harm. Their rabbi had just been murdered, and yet they had the courage to go into Herod's court, get the head, go into the prison, get the body. That's courage, walking right into the face of what could have been a problem for them. See on your outline, they then placed it in a tomb. Placed it are your last two blanks for today. You may remember that John's father, Zacharias, was a Levitical priest. That translates into a very nice tomb. You see, Zechariah was in the Holy of Holies, replacing the bread on the dinner table of God, and had a vision. And when he went home and told his wife, "You're going to get pregnant, and we're going to have a boy, and he's going to be this great prophet, John the Baptist," she kind of thought it was funny, but it all came true. So the bottom line is, in order to be the one that's in there at that Holy of Holies, at that temple table, you're high up in the Levitical world. And those guys were rich. So he ended up in a really nice tomb, not some hole in the wilderness. So here's my conclusion. The sovereignty and the power of the Lord God is illustrated in John's life. So it's obvious that from Zechariah's vision until John's beheading, the sovereignty of God and the path that John was going to walk seems absolutely clear to us. From before his conception, our Lord set John's feet on a path of repentance, righteousness, and truth, and great trust in his Lord. So that was John's life, a path of repentance, talking of righteousness, speaking the truth, and a deep, great trust in our Lord and Savior. Now, I have a couple personal questions to conclude this. So was John courageous or was John incredibly trusting? What do you think? Do you think it was courage that John would speak this way to Herod? Do you think that's what it was? Just flat out bold courage? Or do you think that John had this incredible trust in a sovereign God that allowed him to do things without fear that would lead to this beheading? What do you think it was? Courage or trust? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, humbly we bow before you today and are awed at the reality that you would bring Mark's gospel to us and let us see and understand the truth of John the Baptist's life, the dilemma of King Herod, the evilness of Herodias, and help us understand that we can get tangled up in these things. Marital disagreements and peer pressure can get us into real trouble. So Heavenly Father, we request on behalf of Jesus Christ that you would lead us down the paths of righteousness, repentance, and truth that John walked. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.